Welcome back to the Ancient Health Podcast, where we educate you on real health solutions that will help transform the way you live, feel, and overcome disease naturally. I'm your host, Courtney Versage, along with Dr. Josh Axe and Dr. Chris Motley. We're so happy you've joined us. Let's dive into today's episode.
Hello, friends. Dr. Motley here with the Ancient Health Podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about chronic dry skin conditions like eczema or even acne or rashes that are chronic to you and they keep coming up and there's no explanation for them. But I wanted to talk about how chronic dry skin and skin conditions can be associated with the lungs, the health of the lungs, and the possibility of heavy lung infections that you did not know you even had. Lung infections such as walking pneumonia, strep, staph, even parasites. And I want to correlate that and how it can all be tied to different types of emotions, such as unresolved grief and also a death conflict, a fright. So there, the intercorrelation between the physical portion of your body, which is your skin, and then we're going to talk about how it's connected to an organ. And then we're going to say, how is it affected by the emotion in the organ? So the first thing in the clinic, here at the office, whenever I see a patient that has any problems, especially if you have dry skin on the arms, on the legs, on the back, on the shoulders, or you always have to use, chronically have to use lotion or moisturizer just to keep your skin from cracking or peeling. If this is happening to you, then always point towards the lungs. And the reason being, because the explanation, you may have heard me talk about this before, is that in the Chinese medicine world, in Eastern medicine, the lungs and the large intestine are interconnected. In your body, your lungs and large intestine are two of the main detoxifiers and eliminator of waste in your body. They're waste elimination organs. Now, the beauty of the lungs are that they're bringing in oxygen, they're bringing in life. They give off CO2. But most people don't realize is that the lungs in themselves actually give off lots of waste products because they take a lot of the moisture in your body. Your body will take moisture that has been accumulating underneath the second dermal layer, usually in the skin. And your body will take a lot of the toxins from your lymph nodes and from your bloodstream and will put it into the liquid form so that your body could eventually sweat it out. Or maybe it could be filtered down the fluid in your skin into the kidneys. But your body makes a big leap of all this water into the lungs because it's one of the easiest and quickest ways for you to get rid of toxins. So if you breathe in, you know, pesticides, if you've been around heavy mold or heavy types of chemical waste, if you had any of those types of toxicities within the body, your body will liquefy the toxins in essence and put them into the lungs so your lungs can actually mystify the toxins. So not only are you getting rid of CO2, but you're also getting rid of many more toxins. In fact, there are studies that are very, very eye-opening that they talk about what is found in the mist of the breath. In fact, they can find viruses, mold, bacteria. And not just that, but there's evidence of heavy metals that come out of the breath. There's evidence of different types of pesticides or even byproducts of old, you know, smoking habits that come out of the breath. Now, your body's going to do all it can to push it out of the lungs. But remember, if the lungs ever get toxic or ever get backed up, what would that do to the skin? So your body will have to choose another pathway. Remember, the large intestine is a coupled meridian, a coupled organ to the lung. So your body's essentially going to try to poop out any excess waste. It's also going to try to pull out the, you know, any type of waste fluid out of the colon and put it into the kidneys. So you have the kidneys and the colon working together. And if the lungs ever get sick, then you're going to have waste fluids that are building up in the skin. And so the body will try to push it out of the skin as quick as it can. It's going to try to push it out of like the areas, especially the armpits, the feet, the hands, and the top of the head, because that's where the body has the highest exchange of ions. It's the most permeable areas of the body. So you're going to see that individuals will have chronically dry skin or chronically forms of acne or eczema all over the body. So the skin of the body, the presence of the skin is controlled in Chinese medicine by the lungs. So if you have a toxicity that's overwhelming the lungs and even the large intestine, you're going to see dry skin appearing. And you'll see dry skin coming from the evidence of viruses, mold, bacteria. And what they do is when they get into the second layer of the dermal layer of the skin is that you have your certain cells like your melanocytes that create melanin, right? They create melanin to give you your pigmentation. So if you get a severe viral infection, even a parasitic infection, strep or staph in the melanocytes of a certain area, it could lead into conditions like vitiligo, or you'll have pigmentation issues. And also, certain layers of the skin, because there's three deep layers, you know, there's three layers, and you'll have the deep, deep layers that are connected to your internal fascia. But you have your sweat glands and your keratinocytes, and you have these different types of cells that are hanging out in your skin. And if those infections get into those glands and get into those cells that produce your skin pigmentation, you'll have a problem with that. You'll have a problem with sweating. That's why some individuals say, I can't sweat. I have a problem with sweating. And you do a blood test on those individuals, and a lot of times what you'll find is that they'll have high amounts of certain types of viruses, especially herpes class viruses like HHV or HSV, cytomegalovirus or Epstein-Barr virus. And so anytime a patient has those skin conditions, I automatically go and get them checked for certain types of herpes class viruses because of its effect on the layers of the skin. But I also have to realize that if it's in the skin, it's probably consistently in there and not being eliminated by the fluids, and it may be this whole time being pushed up into the lungs to try to be eliminated through the lungs. So I'm not just saying just viruses. There could be certain types of bacteria like the strep or the staph. And so my job as a clinician is when I see this skin irritation come up, because these infections are what are drying out the skin. They're not allowing the moisture. The sebaceous glands of the skin can get clogged. You can get pimples and acne. Your body's sitting there trying to push these infections out as fast as it can because it can't be eliminated by the lungs. And then what happens? Those infections start to deteriorate and injure your sweat glands, your color, your pigmentation glands. And they're also affecting the pores and allowing that acne to come up. So you see you have a double effect. Your body's trying to get rid of it out of your skin, but those infections are also damaging all the components of the skin. So that's why you're starting to see the dry skin, the flaking. And that's why when you see like nail fungus or toe fungus or foot fungus, the fungus has made its way down through the bloodstream. This is just one example. And remember, your body's trying to push blood down the leg and back up the leg towards the heart. But the infections, you'll find, usually accumulate where you have the turnaround. At the far ends of your arteries and your skin, a lot of the infections will accumulate, like in the hands and the feet and the fingers and the toes. So you start to see these infections that are built up in the distal areas, the hands and feet, and your body is sitting there trying to push those toxins out. So you get sweaty hands and sweaty feet, and you'll start to have the hands and feet that can actually have an odor to them, even the underarms and the head. And remember, that fungus is going to start to do what? Damage the areas around the hands and feet. So you'll have peeling of the hands and feet. You'll have the foot fungus or the toenail fungus start to build up underneath the toenails. So you start to see that the accumulation could be due possibly to the lung infection. Now, maybe you don't have a lung infection, but what I have seen, and I think the majority of individuals that have ever had skin problems all over the body, I don't want to go by percentages, but I say a high amount of my patients always have a hidden lung infection. Now, let's also make a side note. You also hear about me talking about like certain areas of the face or certain areas of the body that have a rash or pimple or eczema, and that can be correlated to a certain organ because of the meridian system. Like certain pathways on the body have these little meridian electrical lines that may be connected to, for example, to the small intestine, and there's a breakout on that area of the body, then I would point to the small intestine. But when we're talking about skin infections that's all over the body, I would always look to the lungs. And so I get usually the patient checked for anaplasma. So write this down, anaplasma, A-N-A, plasma, mycoplasma. And these are lung infections that are very common in our culture today and all around the world. I've seen reports that certain health organizations say that 85% of the world is infected with mycoplasma. And it's a form of having like walking pneumonia. I also get checked for streptococcus pneumonia, Klebsiella pneumonia, and yes, chlamydial pneumonia, not the STD form of chlamydia, but that's just a very small percentage of chlamydia in our world. But the chlamydial pneumonia, you get these from other people, you get them from being in the environment, and just migrates from person to person. But when you start to get these areas red for a person in their lab work, you're starting to see that these infections are pretty dominant in the lungs tissue. If they don't show for those, I get a heavy check for strep. Now, one of the best labs, you may ask, where do I go? I like MicroGen DX. That's one of the labs I like. MicroGen, if you guys want to spell this out, MicroGenDX, MicroGen DX, and they're out of Texas. And I also like Cyrex, CYREX, Cyrex Labs. They have some good tests for microbes. Now, there's many more. I'm just naming some that I think that worked really well for me. But get a heavy strep and staph test. And if you find that, we want to clean it out. Because even if you find it just like in the blood, I want you to get those other infections checked out for the lungs. The mycoplasma, anaplasma, and the pneumonia-based infections. Because once you clear out that pathway in the lungs, you'll start to see that you'll actually have better breath. You'll have better retention of oxygen. Your blood oxygen levels can be very stable. You won't gasp for air or get winded easily. Do you find yourself getting winded easily? Like, I can't go up and down the steps because I feel myself getting out of breath so easily. So you go, okay, I do have these signs and symptoms. What's the other signs and symptoms that I could have the anaplasma? Not only do I get the infections from a lab test, but the lung meridian time in Chinese medicine is at 3 to 5 a.m. So if you are getting out of breath easy, if you have a hard time keeping your blood oxygen levels level, if you find that even your iron levels are being diminished because of your inability to pull, taking a full breath, if you have a tight diaphragm where you can't pull a full breath in, if you have lungs that feel like they can't get to full capacity, that could be scarring within the lungs from the infection. If you get up in the morning from 3 to 5 a.m., and you get up for no reason, look towards the lungs. In fact, I always look when a patient says I get up to 3 to 5 a.m., that's the lung part, and it goes right into the 5 to 7 a.m. is where the electricity goes right into the large intestine area. So if you're waking up at that time, you have these conditions that are mentioned, remember, it's telling you that point blank, the lungs are the issue. Also, with the lungs, the meridian of the lungs, literally, they'll have the lung one, and it starts right here. If you're watching on camera, it's right here near the almost the second rib intercostal space, they call it, up here near the top of the lung. That's the lung one. And the lung two is right at the point where you have that knobby bone on the front of your shoulder. And it goes right down the arm, neck, like on the inside of the bicep, and it goes all the way down to the thumb. The other sign signals you can have from a lung issue are chronically sore or sprained shoulders. If you press the front of your shoulder and you look, dig in, you say, it's always really sore on the front of my shoulders, then that is probably a lung condition. If you look at your wrist and you always have a wrist that's always sore on the inside portion of the thumb, where the thumb joint literally meets the wrist, look towards the lung. One of the best signals I ever find is that if a patient, which I've had, has any type of discoloration, striations, any type of nail instability, like a nail that once looks like it wants to peel off on the thumb, that's a lung issue.
Hey, Dr. Axe here. I wanted to let you know that Jordan Rubin and I just created the most powerful probiotic supplement on the planet. It's called Probiotic Trinity by Ancient Nutrition. It's a 4-in-1 blend of not only probiotics, but also prebiotics, postbiotics, and parabiotics. What we're learning through the research now is probiotics are so much more powerful when you add these other factors like postbiotics to the formula. This product is a game changer for digestive health. When I read the results from people saying that they had taken probiotics in the past, but now when they started taking this unique formula, they were noticing breakthroughs in their digestion and even immune health. And I knew that adding in those critical postbiotics would transform their gut health. If you want to transform your digestive health, click the link in the show notes or run over to ancientnutrition.com, search for this game-changing product called Probiotic Trinity, then enter the code DRAXE24 to get 24% off your next order for the next few days only. I believe this is the game-changing probiotic product your gut and body have been waiting for.
So with this, with the lung issue on the thumb, we have this nail that looks like it's about to fall off. And I've had patients, I can tell you many stories, but I have one patient that I won't mention any names, but it's a young patient, and the patient I always had eczema all over the skin, all over the body. Fast forward, with using kinesiology and some biofeedback and also getting blood work done from her parents, they showed us that she did have high amounts of strep. It was great because we confirmed it, but her thumbnails were always very, very bloody. And they always were like the thumb where the nail met the actual finger, you know, around the edge of it, just very crusty. And it looked like the nail was kind of unstable to me. So from that and her skin being all over with rashes and eczema, I assumed right off the bat, just looking, I was like, that's probably going to be lung. And another big signal is that the cheeks, the middle of the cheeks in Chinese medicine is a facial diagnosis for the lungs, and so red with eczema. So she had to be on albuterol many times a day. In fact, they had to keep an eye on her every night for years because she'd be so out of breath, they'd have to give her albuterol many times at night. And during the day, you know, it's not uncommon for them to give albuterol up to 8 to 10 times in a day because her lungs were so congested. Started to work on the patient, started getting some homeopathics. They did a great job. The parents did an awesome job. They were doing their best. They were doing muscle testing. We were working with their doctors. And finally, when she was getting cleared up, she had a hiccup, and she started, like, when we started cleaning up some parasites and some extra strep, we noticed that she started having some breathing issues again. And I kept finding mycoplasma over and over, in my estimation. Like, and I found the symptoms of it from my type of testing. And when that occurred, she basically would not breathe very well for certain hours of the day, especially in the morning time. 3 to 5 a.m. And they went and they did a scan of her lungs, and the emergency room said, yeah, her right lung was almost half filled with fluid. She had no walking pneumonia this whole time. The right lung was half filled with fluid. So when you look for those things, and you start to see that the dry skin could be associated with the lungs, Don't shortcut that. You may need to go get a scan and imaging done of the lungs to see if it's there. And if you know you have pneumonia and you know you've had it in the past and you have dry skin, you have to clean the lungs, even if it's not really showing like fluid filled within the lungs. So the other aspect is, what are the emotions that are tied in with the lungs? Because the lungs are responding, in my opinion, to psychological stresses, to environmental stresses. And so the lung will always want to perform its function. So your lungs always want to perform the function it was built for, to pull in air, put out CO2, eliminate waste. Now, if you are trying to breathe something in, you're trying to stay alive. And what you usually find is patients that have heavy grief or sadness in their lungs, if they've lost somebody in their life, and they lost something in their life or in a job, and they felt like it was taken away from them and they can't get it back, they'll grieve. And many times in our culture today, we take that grief and we don't try to express it. We just say, okay, I'm just going to suck it up and take it and just move on. But we never really cry it out. We never voice it out. We never actually let it come out of our lungs. When people get scared or frightened, when the loss of a job or loss of a mate or a relationship makes them breathe in and go, they breathe in that grief, but a lot of times they don't breathe it out. So in the brain records the conflict. It records the trauma. And so what is said to occur in the lungs is that the lungs, if something is lost, if something has died in their lives, the lungs will try to create life. It'll actually want to perform the function. Like if a parent or a friend or somebody passed away, it'll make the lungs work an extra activity to actually help you feel alive. Breathe in, because there was a death in your life and you're like, you're experiencing and your body's trying to compensate for it. In fact, if you're a person who always wants to help other people, you will literally take on the energy of other people. And so you'll start trying to breathe more and trying to get more life in. If you're frightened and you let a lot of air out, your lungs are injured as well. So you can have a death in the family. You could have a death conflict. You could have a fright conflict. You could have eternal grief or sadness. Not crying something out or not voicing something out. And so the lungs record this, and the lungs are going to build up a lot of extra tissue so that you have better lung capacity. So you're going to build up all this lung capacity. And what this can do, there's a couple things I think that can happen. The lungs are busy trying to get in more air, trying to perform their function. And so hopefully with the lungs, that the lungs don't overdo it and overgrow, like keep growing and get too big, then the body will allow certain microbes like a biome, like the fungal biome, the bacterial biome, to be in there to help deteriorate old tissue. That's what they do. But if the lung keeps getting a signal from the brain to keep on proliferating, getting bigger, the microbes have to go to extra work and try to eat away extra tissue. And so this can cause certain infections or certain microbes to overgrow in the lungs. That's one aspect. The other aspect is literally from a fright or a death conflict, your lungs can be so weak because of the energetic pull on your emotions, on your life. Your spirit is so low that those lungs get weak. And so they can become a breeding ground for some negative infections like the mycoplasma or the anaplasma. So the lungs can start to have these infections and you haven't resolved the grief or the sadness or the death conflict. So, you know, when we're listening to this, I understand because the patients would say, "Doc, what would I do?" And I do like to suggest different techniques that I've seen work really well. I try to, with my patients, identify the grief or the event that was the start of the grief. I also know that if it's a child that has grief and they're thinking, well, they didn't really have enough life in them and their time span to have tons of grief or sadness or losing somebody, but it could be a genetic blueprint. The parent or the grandparent could have had that and it passed the weak lung tissue down to the child. So the child could have this, and then you'll start to see that we have to find ways in the acupuncture meridian system to help accentuate and bring more energy to the lungs so that the lungs can have enough energy to do what? To perform its function and to actually help it to expand and get more air in. So you're adding energy and electricity into the lungs to actually give it a little bolt of energy to get it a little uplifted so that it can perform its function. And when that occurs, it eases the brain because the brain goes, oh, I got electricity running to my lungs. And so it has some assistance down there. And so I don't have to keep telling the brain to proliferate because it's actually functioning at a good capacity because there's enough electricity and blood flow going to the lung. And that's the point of like emotional work. Whenever you do an emotional work like NET, if you guys research that neuroemotional technique, the technique is based on the acupuncture system. So the patient will do put their hands on certain acupuncture points and the certain reflex points of the organ in an attempt to create a circuit. If you can imagine like one hand touching one part of near the head, near the prefrontal cortex, and the other hand's touching near the lung, and you're trying to create a circuit through the arms. Basically, you're trying to complete a circuit. Now, I'm not trying to get too technical on NET, but that's a technique that utilizes certain percussion and adjustments on the spine to open up the communication in the neurological system, the nervous system of the lungs to the brain. And using certain tapping techniques like EFT to help open up the blood flow and the electrical flow to the organs by tapping on the meridians of the organ. You can also do soft tissue manipulation around the lung points, around the chest, having a good myofascial practitioner really work the lungs, doing EFT tapping, or finding a practitioner that does NET, neuroemotional technique. But the goal is to get blood flow and electricity to that organ, and also at the same time bringing up to remembrance and to full recognition about the trauma. But the reason we stuff the emotion and trauma in the grief in the lungs is because we don't have the energy to process it all. So our body will store it deep into the brain. So that's why we also recommend neurofeedback, like a brain tap. Patrick Porter, he does a brain tap technique. Dr. Patrick Porter, check him out, brain tap. And when you can bring those signals that are deep in the brain up to the surface, they can communicate right back to the frontal cortex. And that's the beauty of neurofeedback. Check Lenz Oaks therapy, L-E-N-S-O-C-H-S therapy. Now, when you have that, you can start to see that the signals actually get processed. So you're giving energy to the lungs by doing tapping. You can do acupuncture, or acupressure for the lungs to get more blood flow and electricity to the lungs. Doing the neurofeedback also with the practitioner, you can use different practitioners, bringing those signals to the surface, but at the same time, fully trying to grasp the memory, not because you want to go through the grief again, but allowing your body to see it as the grief and trauma it is so that your brain will process it out so you can release the negative effects on your physiology. And then the next time you think about the trauma, if your body actually let go of it, you go, yeah, I let go of that, and it was a hard time. That's why I like the book, The Body Keeps the Score. And I think there's books like The Power of Saying No, and it's just those those things are good books to read because they also tell you how to assimilate the emotions that are trapped in your body. So please, I hope that was too much of a brain dump on you guys, but those are the techniques that I like to use. I love to use acupuncture. In the office, I do tons of different forms. I use a lot of light therapy too. And what you'll find is like certain areas of the acupuncture system, I can use infrared light with different types of pulse patterns. And that can actually treat the acupuncture meridian and treat the organ at the same time. And it'll give enough energy to the mitochondria in that organ to help it release the emotions. So look for, you know, a holistic practitioner that does NET and maybe forms of kinesiology, applied kinesiology. That would be really great. So these things are all coming together. What are some of the things I think that would really work well? I always try to find a holistic practitioner that could help with the lungs, but there's many types of good herbs that will clean up the lungs. Mullein is a really one, M-U-L-E-I-N, and it's a very popular one. It helps get rid of the mucus. You can get it in a tea form or a tincture form or even a pill, and it's really good for cleaning out the crud and the mucus out of the lungs. But my top ones, everyone, are I love Supreme Nutrition products. And when we talk about any heavy infections like the strep, you want to make sure that you don't overdo it. But I like neem. I love neem. Melia Supreme, like M-E-L-I-A, Melia Supreme, neem is really great. I also love Golden Thread Supreme, which is Chinese coptis. Those two are some of my top two that I really help work with the lung infections. Now, if you have a young one and they have it, what I've seen work really well are things that are more gentle. Even adults who have that are very sensitive, I love Elysium, Elysium Supreme, which is star anise. And it's very good. It's very good for getting rid of the flu and parainfluenza and certain infections. It's more gentle on the body. And also like chrysanthemum, like Vital Guard Supreme. I really love those. And I think for the young ones, though, Scutellaria is also a good one. It's Chinese skullcap. Those are five, I know, but the bottom three I just mentioned are probably the most gentle, but the top two, the Malia and the Golden Thread, are a little bit more, you know, aggressive, but they're just a little bit more powerful than the others, in my opinion. So check into those herbs. You don't take all of them at once. You find the one that you gravitate towards and you resonate with. And when you find the one that you resonate with, you'll start noticing that your lung capacity will get better. You start noticing that your bowel movements get better. Your lungs will feel better. And you'll start noticing your skin clear up. So remember, there's many aspects to consistently dry skin. And I don't want you guys just to look at dry skin as, oh, I just have dry skin to put on lotion. We have to look at it and go, am I grieving about something? Have I lost something in my life? Are there things that I need to really address with fright or with death in my life? And are there chronic infections that are built in my body because of those weak lungs? So we're going to give you in the show notes those herbs and those tests as well. I hope this has been a good learning experience for about the lungs, but especially if you have chronically dry skin or eczema or pimples. So guys, until the next time, you know, just keep giving us comments. If you like this type of information, please give us that in the comment section. Give us a like and subscribe to the Ancient Health Podcast. And I just hope that this has helped you in any way possible. If you have young ones that have been suffering through this, these are the steps you can take to go find some information out to get this thing resolved. All right, guys, I hope that you guys have a blessed day. Until the next time, I'm Dr. Chris Motley for the Ancient Health Podcast. Have a great day.
Hey, Dr. Axe here. I want to say thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to like and subscribe the show so you don't miss a thing. Also, if you're in search of more natural health content, you can follow us at Health Institute on Instagram or subscribe to our newsletter using the link in the show notes below. Hey, thanks a lot and have a blessed week.